And it's always a great pleasure to be with you at Covenant. I've had more people ask me when Bernie's getting back. I don't take that personally. I have no idea. I don't know Bernie's travel schedule. I don't know where he is. I don't really care, to be honest with you. I love him. I love his family more than I love him. I travel a lot. I don't think anybody even knows when I'm gone anywhere. So it is what it is. But it's a joy to be with you. I was thinking the other day about our family of churches that we have been working at forming. And years ago, almost 20 years ago, Jeremy Calley, Jim Murphy, and I shot a video as we were planting Missio Church. And in that video, I was, I don't know how many pounds lighter, and I had hair in the right places. And but in that video, there's a map that comes up somewhere in the video, which has churches that we are hoping to plant all over Onondaga County. You know, the video is trying to cast vision about what we were believing God for over the next 10 to 20 years, knowing that what we were embarking on was a decadal work. When you're joining with what God is doing, right? We were never in any way talking about coming in to start something. God has been at work here since people were here. Like, God, you know, you'd be foolish to think you're coming in to begin something. But we were joining with what God was doing, but we knew that the work would take a long time. Right? Onondaga County at that time, just under 500,000 people, still just under 500,000 people. At the time, had fewer than 100 churches. Right? There's been 23 churches, 22, 23 churches that have been planted in those 20 years in Onondaga County. Right? And we've had the opportunity to be part of planting 13 of them. And that's a joy, and we're happy about that. And yet the work's not done. There's a lot of work to do. But in that video, there's a map that comes up on the wall, and there's, I think, 5 or 6 churches, right, represented. I say 5 or 6 because I know that you're a precise people, and somebody will go back, find a DVD player in that video, and correct me on that, right? And so as I think about this family of churches coming together to do what no individual congregation can do on its own, right? I think about the fact that the first phase of what God brought us here to do, it's not that it's complete, right? But it's now postured to move into what it was called to do and what it now can do in a second phase, which is to begin to really think about the surrounding counties. You know, Cayuga County, Oswego County, Cortland County, Madison County, the other 57 counties in the state of New York, right? Because there's 62 counties here in our state. And what God wants to do among 19 million people and around 350 million people in the country, 8 billion people in the world. And so I'm just really excited about what God's doing here with this individual congregation in Baldwinsville. But what God's doing with these 6 congregations, and what God's doing with the church in Central New York, and so I thank you for being a part of that. At the same time, I look at the map of your partners around the world. I know we've got some folks from Scotland here today. Every one of you should pester them with lots of questions before you leave. Pray for them, encourage them in the work that they're doing. At the same time, we've got a couple guys on that map from Saturation Church Planning. We're going to be gathering next week. SCP, we're gathering about 50 guys, some from around the country, some from around the world. We're gathering in Florida to talk about what God's doing amongst the 8 billion people in the world. And so I would ask you that you pray for that meeting. I've had a couple people ask me about Babu, who is a guy that you support in India. I'm not going to say his last name here because it's being recorded. You can see his last name there. I talked to Babu the other day. Babu's going to be with us in Florida, Lord willing. And I'll tell you why, Lord willing. There was an election in the state that he lives in. He lives in, it says Telangana up there, but Telangana is where he was born. He actually lives in West Bengal. West Bengal is a state of 100 million people. It just had an election that did not go in the way that the church was praying that it would go. And about an hour after the election results were cast, Babu got a phone call from a man that he didn't know. He knew him because he'd seen his name on television because he was running for office and had won an elected post, similar to what we would see as like a state assemblyman or something like that, a local post. And the man said, "Are you Babu Komo?" And he said, "Yeah, that's my name." And he said, "Well, Babu, this is who I am." And so Babu knew who he was. And he said, "I'm calling to tell you that you're the most, from a religious standpoint, you're the most wanted man in West Bengal." Right? Like, Babu's network, they've planted 1,200 expressions of the gospel in the last 15 years in a place that does not want the gospel to go anywhere. And so the guy said, "You know, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in the church, but I've grown up around Christians, and maybe I can help you." Now, maybe, doubtful. Babu's going to meet this guy tomorrow. For all I know, Babu's going straight back to jail tomorrow. And so I'm sharing that with you to say, pray for my friend. Right? He just got out of a year's worth of court cases for anti-conversion issues. Pray for my friend. Right? He said to me, like, pray for my friend. Pray for his wife's name is Merka, right? M-E-R-K-A-K-H-A, right? Pray for his daughter and his son, right? Hannah and Enosh. He said to me the other day, "I'm not afraid to die. If they kill me, they kill me. I'm worried about my children." All right? We deal with all sorts of stuff here in the United States, and we think, oh, everything's coming to a head, and This is a dude, and I'm grateful for your support of him, right? Continue to support him. Continue to pray for him. This is a dude who's getting stuff done for the gospel of Jesus Christ, mobilizing leaders, and who's in the face of great persecution saying, "I'm not afraid to die for Jesus," right? He's already suffered greatly. Bernie and Andrew will be with him next week, if the Lord allows him to not go to jail tomorrow. And so pray for him. Pray for people all around the world. Amen? Amen. Anyway, we're in Proverbs 2. I'm grateful for you, for what you're doing, for the fact that the Lord has brought us together as his people. Amen? Amen. This is the word of the Lord, Proverbs chapter 2. We'll read this, then we'll pray together. "My son, if you receive my words, and you treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways. So you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman,
from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inherit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked, they will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for everything that you have done and are doing, everything you've promised to do, everything that you've accomplished in the work of Jesus, everything that you're accomplishing in the work of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing here in Baldwinsville, what you're doing in Onondaga County, in Oswego County, through your saints here at Covenant Church. We ask that you'd continue to do that. We pray, Father, for continued growth in the body, whether that's numerical growth or not. We pray for maturity, that you'd continue to grow your people to look like Jesus, and that they would then go out and do the things that Christ has called them to do, and that through that, the gospel would go out as they proclaim who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Lord, we pray that every man, woman, and child in this community would have repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to who Jesus is because the gospel goes out in your people. Lord, we pray that not just for Covenant, but for every congregation in Baldwinsville and in these suburbs that stands on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would build your church and that you would glorify yourself in and through it. Lord, we pray that you would continue to save men and women, boys and girls, and that you'd be glorified in doing so. Lord, we pray for our time today, that you would speak, that you would convict, that you would challenge, that you would encourage, that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. As we are looking at Proverbs, obviously we are thinking about wisdom. This proverb speaks about wisdom a lot. And we're thinking about the idea of how do we live wisely in God's world, right? Like that is a constant theme that keeps coming up over and over. Like how do we as the people of God live wisely in God's world? This is his world. He created it. He sustains it. He oversees it. He rules over it. And how do we live in a way that honors him, that glorifies him, and how do we live wisely, right? And that idea of wisdom, right? We have a tendency to think like old men with white beards. Hey, here we go. Old men with white beards. But really, how do we live with skill, right? How do we live in a way that is successful? And I don't mean successful like, the seven habits of highly successful people. That's not necessarily what I'm talking about. But how do we live in a way that honors the Lord, that is pleasing to the Lord, right? How do I live wisely in God's world? How do I navigate, right, this life with anticipation of the life that is to come? How do I live wisely, right? Now, these first nine chapters are Solomon talking to his son, right, and urging, right? But really, they're God talking to his people, right? There's Solomon talking to a son. I've got three sons that are 19, 20, 21, and 24, right? And I can hear the urgency of a father talking to his sons as they're embarking on young adulthood and life. My son, listen. Don't do that. Oh yeah, that's a good decision. That's a good decision. Right? Got a daughter who's 25. Right? Don't do that. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good one. Right? How do we live wisely? But this never ends. right? It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, right? These principles are true. This is God pleading with his people. How do you live in a way that honors me? How do you live in a way that declares who I am in the world, right? And so there's a handful of things here that we want to draw out as we look at this, right? At the risk of offending those of you who are orderly, I've been told I've got a task here with some engineers that I got to deal with, but I'm not really going to worry about that. Really what I want to do is start in verse 6, right? And look at the fact that God is the one who gives wisdom. Wisdom is found, right? That the secret to how to live is found in relationship with the Lord, right? Look at what he says here. He says, for the Lord gives wisdom, right? The Lord gives wisdom. Now, I recognize that there are going to be people outside of a relationship with Jesus, outside of salvation, who appear to be wise, right? There are going to be people that are successful. There are going to be people that know how to do this or that, right? That have the appearance of wisdom. And under the guise of general revelation, there are going to be, you know, people that are successful. That's not what we're talking about. Because again, what we're talking about here are people who know, right, the Lord. And they know how to honor and how to please the Lord. They know how to obey the Lord. They know how to hear his voice. And they know how to navigate, right, the channels of life in a way that is in relationship with the one true God. Right? They're in relationship with him. He gives wisdom. This points back up to verse 5, which we'll talk about again in a moment. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. Doesn't mean I walk in integrity and so therefore he gives me a shield. He gives because I'm in relationship with him. I can walk in his ways. Right? And he then shields and protects, guards the paths of justice and watches over the way of his saints, those who have been made holy, right? Those who are in relationship with him. The saints aren't those who do better than everybody else, those who, you know, don't dance or smoke or, you know, go with girls that do those types of things, right? No, the saints are those who have been made righteous and holy because they're in relationship with the Lord God, right? You and I, if you're in Christ, have been made saints together with each other, right? Now, you might look at the person sitting next to you and say, I don't think that person's a saint. But that is what God has declared of his people. If you go back to Exodus 19, a million slaves come out of Egypt. They're sitting at the base of Sinai, and God declares that they're holy. In the next chapter, they begin to melt down all of their gold and all of their jewelry to fashion an idol that they could worship, something tangible that they could see, taste, touch. They don't look holy. They're holy because God has brought them, he has set them apart for himself. And that's why you're holy. That's why I'm holy, because God has called you to himself. And in Christ Jesus, he has saved you. It's got less to do with what you've done. It actually has nothing to do with what you've done and everything to do with what he's done. And then the things you do begin to reflect what God has done. Right? So first, what we want to see is that wisdom, right, it's found in relationship with the Lord. This way of living is reflective of the fact that you have been redeemed in Jesus Christ. Second, it must be pursued. Here's now we're going to go back up to verse 1, right? It's a gift that God gives, right? But it must then be pursued, right? How many of you have ever given a gift to your kids? on Christmas, and then a gift that you knew they needed or they wanted or whatever, and then watched that gift just kind of sat there. And it was an expensive gift. It cost you a lot of money. And it was way better than the gift that they thought was a better gift. Right? And you thought, man, you know, just sits there. Not used, not cared for, not loved, not cherished. Right? Those ungrateful little brats. I have four of them who I love dearly and would gladly give them more gifts. Not because I'm trying to buy their affection, but because I love them. Right? They bear my image, unfortunately. God gives these gifts, but notice there are conditional statements that come with them, right? He gives us these if-thens, right? There's eight ifs that come with three thens, right? If, my son, if you receive, if you treasure, if you receive my words, right? Right there you see that the words of the Father, right? If you receive my words, there's some worth that comes with these words, right? And throughout this chapter, what you see is wisdom comes tethered to words, right? Not only does wisdom come tethered to words, but so does temptation, right? And that harkens us back to the garden, right? God creates Adam, Eve. He tells them. He speaks to them. Right? The tempter comes and he speaks as well. Right? If you receive my words, if you treasure my commandments, right? There's a posture that comes in relationship, right, to the Lord. And it's not one of give me. It's one of reception. It's one of humility. It's one that says, I'm not going to take, i.e., I'm not coming to conquer. I'm not coming to take what I'm owed. It's one I'm here to receive. Right? If you receive my words. Words that I need, words that I cannot live without, words that I'm absolutely dependent upon. If you receive my words, if you treasure my commandments, not leave them in a book on a desk over there, which maybe someday you'll get to when everything else is accomplished, but if you treasure them, right? In Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah says, your words were found, and I ate them. And they became to me my joy and my heart's delight. Like, if you eat the book, making your ear attentive, right, to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, right? Like, this is wisdom in the crassest of terms here. We're talking about the acquiring of a skill set, how to live in a way that honors the Lord, right? And with almost any skill set that you want to acquire, you know that you don't just wake up one day and have said skill set. You don't wake up one day and you're a master carpenter. You don't wake up one day and you're a doctor. You're an attorney. You're a this, you're a that. You know, you don't wake up one day and you can hit a curveball. That doesn't happen. It takes a lifetime of practice, of pursuing, of working, of inclining, of consuming, right? It's work. It's a gift that God is ready to say, here you go. I'm making this readily available to you. I'm making myself available to you. I mean, right here. When my kids were older, like I travel a lot, but when I'm in town and my kids actually still lived with me, I would every night, I don't do meetings at night when they were in high school. I didn't do meetings at night when I was in town. You know, like pastors, they are always meeting people at night. Nope, I don't do any of that. And I would sit in the same spot every night. I'm here. I am available. I'm accessible. There's nothing else that I'm ready to do but meet with you. Now, I can't make them meet with me. And I get it. Like, nothing here that's really, like, that they want to meet with. I'm just an old man. But I'm right here. And one of those kids walked in that room. Everything else I'm doing shuts off. I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here. Right? That's God has made himself. He has come into and made himself. Are we inclining our ear? Are we treasuring? Yes, if you call out, verse 3, for insight. And raise your voice for understanding. Right? There's nothing passive about following Jesus. This is someone who is pursuing the Lord. Right? This isn't someone who's like, yeah, well, you know. This is, I get up every day. Lord, speak to me. Lord, I'm here, ready to hear. Ready to eat. Lord, I know that you're there. If you seek it like silver, search as a hidden treasure. Right? So these are all the ifs. And all of the ifs tell me that that God has made himself available, and that it's incumbent upon me, incumbent upon you, incumbent upon all of us to pursue intimacy with God, to pursue him, 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 to pursue him. Then, the first of our then statements, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. And find the knowledge of God. Right? Wisdom must be pursued by God's people. It must be. It has to be. Christ must be pursued. Intimacy must be pursued. Right? I'll understand the fear of the Lord. I'll have the humility. Right? What does that mean? That means I'll understand that I am not him. To know who he is and to submit to him. So that I can live in his economy, right? I'll know I am not the Lord. He is Lord over all. And whatever he says goes, right? The fear of the Lord is not so much this phobia fear, right? But it's an understanding of who God is, so that I can see the world the way he sees the world, and I can function in his economy the way I was created to function in his economy, that he is the head of everything. And I understand who I am in light of who he is. I am a sinner who's now been redeemed by grace. I was created to know him, to love him, to serve him. And my life is not my own. I belong to him. Lord, how can I serve you? What is it that you've called me to do? Right? I begin to understand what I was created for. That when I get up in the morning, it's not, okay, this is my day. But that every day is his day. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want to use me today? Then you will understand, right? the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You begin to know him, right? He's a knowable God. He is not far off, but he is knowable. Not just the under, not just the systematic theological facts so that you can pass an exam or write a paper. Those things are great. But you'll begin to know him. Right? Understand as well, pop down to verse 9, righteousness, right? The way that God's world works, right? Righteousness, justice, and equity, the understanding of how to live wisely in the world, how to honor him, how to serve him. Like, what is it that God desires in the world, right? Now, we know, because we've read the whole thing, we know that at one point, God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, that he's going to restore all things to himself. But until that day, what is it that God desires? What is it that he wants? I believe what he wants is he wants every person, right here in Central New York, here in New York State, here in the U.S., here in the world, to have a repeated opportunity to see, hear, respond to the gospel. He wants people to know. And at the same time, he wants his people to live in such a way that they reflect the nature and the glory of God. Right? It's not just that they're telling, but they're also living in such a way that their lives declare the glory of God. Right? But if you look at the Western church, here in the States, but also throughout the West, they don't look like that. Because we've been sold a corrupted church, that we come and we consume. We come here, a talking head yaps at us for a little bit, then we go about our lives. When really, the primary expression of the church is not on a Sunday morning. The primary expression of the church is when all of Christ's people are on their faces before the Lord, spending time with him, right? That's when God's speaking to his people, is when all of you are feasting and eating on God's word, right? And then not only feasting and eating, but then walking out the things that God is saying to you. Oh, I need to love my wife in a different way. I need to love my husband in a different way. Oh, I need to be a better employee. I need to serve my neighbor in a different way. I need to, whatever it is. That's, then you will understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. Right? Number three, wisdom will deliver you. Delivers those who listen and live according to it from evil. Right? Seems like not a week goes by that some name in the church doesn't get snipped, doesn't get sniped, right? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And if there's names out there, people who claim to be, now, I think that's just endemic of the fact that we weren't called to be names, right? Like, the celebrity culture of the church is, I think, a disgusting thing. But how much more amongst God's people that the enemy is just bam, 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 bam. Listen to the word of the Lord here. Starting verse 12. Like, again, if you listen, then he'll be delivering you from the way of evil. And then he mentions two forms of evil here. From men of perverted speech, right? Who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, right? Again, there's speech here. Men who pervert the ways of God, right? Who forsake the paths of uprightness, walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, who delight in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and they're devious in all their ways, right? We see that all over the place. Men who take the shortcut, right? But again, you notice it starts with the words. Oh, well, that doesn't really matter. It's okay. You can do this, right? And then you see the second one. So you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman, the adulteress with her smooth words, right? Who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, her paths to the departed. Listen to this word. Verse 19. None who go to her come back. Oh, it's no big deal. I can do it once. Nobody will know. None who go down to her come back. Like, they don't come back whole. They might come back. They might, it's not saying like they're swallowed into a grave and they don't, like they're never seen from again. They don't come back whole. If you listen to the Lord, if you take the scriptures that he has provided for you, right? Wisdom. If you listen to the counsel of godly people, if you cling to one another and speak into each other's lives, the Lord will deliver you from these things if you listen. But so many people in the church don't listen. They don't take it seriously. And we have a church in this country that is so corrupted by evil men and adulterous women. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. You may think that you are strong enough to withstand. You are not. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to her. Listen to Jesus. Hello? Anyone there? Anyone at all? Thank you, Jesus, for providing the means to deliver us from evil. May we take it. Finally, right? God gives us wisdom, right? He gives us wisdom so that we might live. He gives us wisdom so that we might escape evil. It's an expression of his relationship with us. And then he gives us wisdom. And it breeds both life and an inheritance for us. Right? So you will walk in the way of the good. Right? Not in the way of the evil. Right? That's not God's plan for you. God's plan for you and I is not to skirt around the way of the evil, but is to walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inherit the land. Now you read a verse like that, you read a phrase like that, and you think, Land, private property, that's great. That's not what this is talking about. Right? You got to go back and think about the people that this is written to. Right? This is a people that God had promised the land to. That's their inheritance. Right? You and I have been promised a different inheritance. That we will dwell forever and ever 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 with the Lord God. My inheritance isn't tied to a plot of land, right? My inheritance, which is sealed by the Holy Spirit, Paul tells me, right? Who is the one who says to me, remember what the Word said. You've got the Word of God in you. You've got the Spirit of God in you. You've got the blood of Christ that covers you. Remember. My inheritance is that I will dwell forever with my God in the new heaven and the new earth. Right? And so he's given me wisdom. He teaches me day by day. I've been doing this a long time. But day by day, he continues to give me wisdom on how to live in the world in such a way, right, that I can honor him. I can accomplish the things he's called me to accomplish. I can avoid evil. And I can look forward to the inheritance that he has called me to, right? With great expectation and great anticipation. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing. Lord, we thank you that you have made wisdom known to us. That in Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that you made it possible for us to be reconciled to you. Sinners that we are, that you brought us back to yourself. And that you've given us your Spirit, who opens our mind to understand your Word, who opens our mind to understand our need for you, who opens our mind to understand our need to obey, who empowers us to do those things. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here at Covenant. I pray that you'd protect them. I pray that you'd build them. I pray that you'd use them. Lord, we pray if there's anyone in this room this morning who's yet to embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior, that you would open their minds to understand their need for Jesus and that they would say yes to him. And that you'd glorify yourself in doing that. We thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name.